Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Defense!
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Throttle ahead into week number 7 right here on College Football Today. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci talking about all the Power 5 battles. Going to turn our attention to another critical battle within the SEC. It's a 12 o'clock kick between Tennessee and Auburn. Auburn coming off a disappointing road loss to Mississippi State last week. Lost that battle in the fourth quarter. Now Tennessee coming out of a bye week. This is a very critical game for new head coach Jeremy Pruitt. Rich, I don't like the way Auburn's playing offensively. They're only averaging 163 rushing yards per game. Last three games against Arkansas, Southern Miss, and Mississippi State, less than 100 yards. They're right in the area of about 90 rushing yards per game. That's making them one-dimensional. And Jarrett Stidham, only on his pass attempts and completions, 7 yards per attempt. Yeah. I like Tennessee to keep this game close. Auburn might win, but the Volunteers are in this ball game start to finish.
Joe, I'm with you on this one completely. I think this is a good spot for Tennessee. Think about the psyche of these two teams. Auburn is sinking. Gabe used the word floundering before. I'll use it again. This is a floundering program, particularly offensively. I mean, they're an absolute mess, not getting it done. They miss Kerryon Johnson. They don't have big play wide receivers. And here comes Tennessee out of the break. They want to have a statement win. You mentioned Jeremy Pruitt. Defense has actually played pretty well this year. When I look at these two teams statistically, and I know it's apples and oranges, they've played different opponents, very, very similar. Bad offenses, capable defenses. I agree with you. I think this is a close game throughout.
Not a best bet for me here, guys, but I just can't trust this Tennessee Volunteer football team. I think Auburn's going to be in a bad mood. You're right. It's shocking. We talked earlier about LSU averaging 31 points a game. Auburn 28, 11th in scoring in the SEC. So they really are having a hard time putting the ball in the end zone. But can Tennessee score? Auburn still have a pretty good defense. And especially it's a tough place to play at home. They only given up 12.6 points a game at home. I don't know if Tennessee can score enough. Georgia kind of sleptwalked through that game with Tennessee. And Tennessee still had a hard time moving the football. It's, you know, if you get it at 14 points, I don't love it, but I think Tennessee are just that bad. I don't really see a lot of progress under Pruitt here, to be honest with you. And you talked about it. They have the wrong quarterback. The quarterback play is subpar.
Chris needs to start that. I mean, if they really
want
to.
I don't know what he sees in Garantano.
I don't understand this.
Young kid.
Jared Garantano does that. And he's young, but sometimes there are young quarterbacks and you can see the flashes.
Yeah.
And you say, well, you know what? Once in a while, this kid is going to blow us away and the next year he's going to be a star. I don't see that in Garantano.
I don't understand the decision either.
Here's the one concern. You bring up great points. Auburn, what are they playing for? I mean, this was a team that after they beat Washington, they're looking towards that game. We'll run the SEC. Then they lose to LSU. Okay, no problem. We'll get back on track. They lose last week in Starkville. Now what are you playing
There's
for?
There's a big difference, between 2 and 3 losses, and they still have Alabama coming up.
A lot of pressure on
up.
Gus Malzahn, too. Yes. I think that, I mean, they lose this game. He's definitely on the hot seat again.
Well, and he's an offensive coach. I mean, what has happened to the offense?
And you have Jared Stidham, who a lot of people view as a star quarterback.
A senior, a returning starter, someone who the NFL is going to take interest in, and they just haven't been able to put it together. Now, Mississippi State's got a very good defense, and I know there was weather against Southern Miss, but I'm running out of excuses for the Auburn offense. Now, I mean, listen, Gabe brings up a good point. Tennessee's got to score, and they're struggling to score as well. Put up 24 against UTEP. So I expect this to be a low-scoring game. I just think, you know, is the number above 14? Last time I checked, it was 15.5.
14.5 now. Yeah. They're starting. Here's the thing. I think
there's a few 15s to pop up.
12 o'clock kick on the plains in Auburn.
And I think, Joe, I think that's going to be a sleepy environment.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's going to show up there. It's not LSU.
Well, it's not going to be empty.
No, it won't be empty.
I think you guys are overreacting a little bit.
They're not going to have the war eagles flying in.
Once the game gets going and Auburn gets a touchdown or two, lose. I think this is actually a feel-good moment, and it's a sigh of relief. Like, all right, let's just get to 5-2. Everybody chill out. I think they tattooed them.
Do you really? Okay.
I don't tattoo them, but... Say, you know, 35-10.
Yeah, I think it's a game in the second half.
I picked the score 24-20. Auburn wins, but Tennessee's in this. It wouldn't shock me if Tennessee struck the upset. The one thing I look at is
third down
conversions. Auburn converting 32%. Strength of the Tennessee defense is third down defense, holding opposing offense.
And I don't think you can underestimate. I think this is a big deal for Jeremy.
It's more for Tennessee than it is Auburn, I'll tell you that.
No question about it.
All right, just so we don't fall behind in the chat here, people asking about Alabama. We're obviously going to spend some time talking about this game with Drew Lock and Alabama. You know, Alabama haven't covered three straight games. They keep getting backdoored, and Saban's getting mad.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, tell me he doesn't know, because I've seen it, like, two out of the last 3 weeks, the other team scores late, and Saban comes right back.
He's going to make the boosters happy.
You're up by 33.
Hey, I was going to say that. I think the boosters are getting really pissed off.
Nick, what are you doing? You got a $10 million.
Nick, you're rolling these teams. Just put the foot on the gas.
Last week, he was yelling at people after the last, not covering. Probably telling them, I just got a new Lexus from this dealer down here. I got to tell him, and I didn't cover the damn spread again. It's three weeks in a row.
Especially when he knows he could cover 45 against a lot of his opponents.
So we're going to get to that game. Hang in there, Andres, because that's a big one. For the record there, I'm betting the over. I don't see how I'm not betting the over when Alabama are putting 56 points up on the board. Northwestern, Nebraska, that's an interesting early game.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I don't really understand the line. Northwestern -3 here. I'm leading with the Wildcats.
It opened at 9. It opened at 9.
I think people are just waiting. Everybody's going to keep betting Nebraska until Scott Frost gets his first win.
I think that's
the mentality.
I'm going to keep betting against them until I get that win.
Well, maybe
Northwestern may have turned the corner last week. That was an impressive win over Michigan State.
We remember talking about how disappointed I was in Northwestern. I hyped this team up before the year started as a potential 8-9 win football team.
I was
on Northwestern being an 8 or 9 win team. Nebraska
still might be.
I thought Nebraska 5-7. I picked them. Their strength of schedule was 6-28, right behind Michigan for the Big Ten. So an FBS opponent. So
the one thing I want to point out is, and listen, I love Scott Frost on many levels. Yeah. Certainly as a head coach, I think he's going to get there. And I think he'll be Wisconsin in a couple of years. He'll be at where Wisconsin is in a couple of years, in my opinion. The one thing I can see developing, watching that offense, Adrian Martinez is starting to come around. He's becoming a passer. He's thrown for more than 300 yards in the last 2 weeks against Purdue, last week against Wisconsin. So he's going to pick – Frost and the Huskers are going to pick somebody off. I'm just not sure it's this weekend.
I want to get your take on this, because we say, why is the line going down? And I'm a big believer in this, too, that sometimes Vegas, they're not just about getting even money. Hey, we want even action on the thing. They move a line because they want you to think. They want you to think that maybe – you know, money's on Nebraska. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in this ball game. I still like Northwestern. But they do that. They move lines to make you think something's up so that way they could take your money. Let's keep that in mind as well. The books are in the business of taking your money. They're not in the business of, let's collect 50% on both sides.
It's interesting. That's what the new DFS sites, i.e. like FanDuel, and specifically more DraftKings, Joe, the DraftKings Sportsbook, they don't just have even -110.
Right.
And they actually admit it. They say that over the years, the Vegas gaming model was they just wanted even action and we're going to take our 10%. Right. DraftKings says, no, we think we know who's going to win the game. Right. So bet us. You know, if you don't like this number, take the other side of it.
Right.
Because we're actually gambling. They're actually gambling as well.
Right.
Which is unique. Like the old school Vegas was like, no, we're not gambling on this. We just want action on both sides. But as you stated, Joe, secretly, don't tell me that the boss is behind, you don't think Cornegay knows?
Yeah.
These guys are betting the Rams this week. Right, let's sucker them in, and we're going to kill them.
I've heard this too, Gabe.
They reel them in.
They say,
when I say Jay Cornegay, he's the odds maker at the Westgate in Vegas. Use it as an example.
And they'll say, I think we have the wrong team favored. Well, if you think you have the wrong team favored, why didn't you make the team that you thought was favored?
Because they're baiting you.
Right, exactly. So I'm just going to say that. But I want to bring up this pick because it's been pretty interesting in Vegas. Gabe might know about it. About a couple of weeks ago when Buffalo played Rutgers, there was a duffel bag gambler that came into the MGM.
He laid
$120,000 on three parlays. All right, and he put Buffalo against Rutgers, dominating victory. And then he also had the same weekend that the Bills played the Vikings. He had the Vikings.
Yeah.
He had the Bears, which played Arizona and didn't cover. And then he had the Bucks against Steelers. So he got blown out.
Monday nighter.
120K. Then he came back. I forget who he took last week, but it was a loser. He's on this week. He put a six-figure bet on Army at -16.5. It dropped down to -14 against San Jose. So keep an eye out for that. I happen to
think you're saying the duffel bag gambler's not moving numbers.
No, they're not anymore. So now they're fading him. Now they're fading him. But I think, personally, I think he's right this week. I think Army's the right play against San Jose. I think, don't get me wrong. How do you know he didn't bet those lines?
What a risky game to get value. Like 75 to 100K.
I said, what bank is he robbing each week that he laid 120K?
Must be a trust fund kid or inherited money or what, you know.
They call him the duffel bag gambler.
But just because somebody bets a lot of money doesn't mean that they're smart, right? We don't know where he got his money. Right. I remember being in a sports book once, and I saw somebody bet $40,000 on Texas. And everyone was like, ooh, God, is that a sharp? You know, who's that guy? And the ticket takers all said, he's a tourist from Texas. He's a rich guy from
Real
Texas.
Real scientific.
And, he's a tourist from Texas. They're like, no, he's just a tourist from Texas.
Oh, man.
That's I bet 40K, but it didn't mean. It's funny, too. A couple of years, it was actually last year in the World Series. There was massive line movement on a couple of the games in the World Series. Like, I'm talking big time stuff. And people are like, oh, my God, look, it moved 40 cents. You know what it was? It was a mattress dealer in Houston. He promised free mattresses to the city if the Astros ever won the World Series. So he literally, it was going to cost him $5 million in mattresses. He had an insurance deal, policy, wanted to cover it. But he was still, basically, they would only go up to like $3 million or something in mattresses to give away. So he had a $2 million gap. He actually, what a hustler. He actually flew to Vegas and hedged it. He actually bet on the Dodgers to guarantee that he wouldn't lose the money, and he moved the number.
Wow.
So everyone's like, you know, online in the gaming sites, oh my God, did you see the line movement? Yeah, because a rich mattress dealer flew into Vegas to bet it to cover his ass because he's got $5 million in mattresses at stake.
Well, incredible. And the genius of that is all of the earned media he got because we're talking about it to this
Years later.
Staggering.
Speaking of which, they gave away free burgers in Milwaukee yesterday.
He's a burger right now. But before we get to that, we'll talk about the ACC battle. It's Miami on the road in Charlottesville to face Virginia. This is a Virginia team that's coming out of a bye week. We were on Virginia last year, guys.
That was Kurt Benkert.
19.5 point underdogs, lost by 16. They jumped up 14-0 in that battle. Guess what? I love the way they're playing with Bronco Mendenhall. Bryce Perkins completing 63% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. This is a Virginia offense averaging 191 rushing yards per game. Now, granted, Miami's won 4 of the last 5 over the Cavaliers by 15.3 points per game. Upset City, Virginia over Miami later tonight.
Wouldn't surprise me. We're agreeing way too much today because I tend to agree. I look at this game, Virginia, you mentioned it, off a bye. Miami coming off the emotional win against Florida State, the comeback win. This is the first road start for Nakozi Perry, a quarterback that might get there but isn't there right now. And that secondary of Virginia is playing exceptionally well, led by Bryce Hall. So Broncos doing a good job. My only concern, and I do like Virginia getting the points, my only concern is I don't know where the points come from for Virginia because you have Bryce Perkins. He's not much of a throwing quarterback, more of a runner, kind of like the Huntley kid at Utah or at times last year, Khalil Tate for Arizona. He'll move well outside the pocket, but that defensive line for Miami, John Garvin, Gerald Willis, the transfer from Florida, Jackson on the outside, they're doing an exceptional job. That'll be the big problem for Virginia, but I think Miami comes into this game. It's going to be a quiet atmosphere. I think they could get picked off.
Yeah, here's what I look at. I think low scoring. They played a blue-collar Indiana team on the road. Virginia did, lost 20-16 in the same type of, I want to say, mindset in that ballgame. I think you're going to see the same type of game plan. Lower scoring. Look for Jordan Ellis to get some carries, leading the team in rushing. I think it's a low-scoring game, but I still like Virginia here. And more importantly, I think Bronco Mendenhall starting to put his stamp on this team on the offense and defensive lines, Gabe. I don't have a feel for the total, but I really like the Cavaliers with the points and on the money line.
Well, we saw Perry make some plays last week, but we also saw some erraticness as well from the quarterback position. It's tough to want to lay points in this spot on the road with Miami. And Bronco Mendenhall in his career has always been sort of a big game coach, especially as he's a great underdog. And you look at Virginia, guys, 3-0 on their home field this year, also 3-0 against the spread on their home field this year.
3-0, all of those wins, I looked at the same thing, by at least two touchdowns. Now, again, nobody the caliber of Miami, but they've been a much better team in
Saturday
Charlottesville.
Saturday night, the stadium's going to be rocking tonight. You know, I like teams that can run the ball, as you stated. If we fall behind, we've got problems, but I don't think Miami's good enough to go on the road and pull away from anybody.
I don't feel like they're elite.
No, absolutely
not.
We're
finally in agreement on a game, all of us.
Absolutely not.
Virginia.
Yeah, we were on Virginia last year.
Joe, they're close to elite defensively.
Yes.
I think they're defensively, they're a top 10 team. Offensively,
challenge.
Top 40, top 30. You know, so
it's surprising, actually. Miami are 5-1 to the over on the season.
Yeah.
Here's a big reason why. Look at the North Carolina game. Look at the North Carolina. Three defensive touchdowns.
No, good point.
And
it's not their offense.
It's not their offense. I'm not saying they can't go over, but that's not really being driven by the offense.
You know, it's kind of a stumbly and clunky offense, and then it'll be a big play, right?
Yes.
They won't do anything, and 17-yard gain. It's tough to trust this team laying points
like
that.
Can I bring something up, too, that really just ticks me off in college football? I'd like your opinion before we go to a break. Why would you copy the turnover chain if you're anybody else? Turnover backpacks at Florida State.
Everybody's got it. They got
ridiculous.
They have everything.
Leave it to Miami. Miami had a genius branding idea last year with the turnover chain.
See,
why would
Boise
you copy
State have the throne?
Yeah,
Everybody's got.
I don't like it.
Didn't somebody? Alabama had the chain. The actual chain, didn't they? Alabama had the actual.
Was it? Was
chain?
It turnover related?
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. Everybody's doing it, but I
don't know.
Miami
happened in the good old days.
Miami bling theirs out, Beach side.
In our day, you know, growing up and stuff, it was cool. It was just, you know, Michigan and Ohio State made a big play. You got a sticker on your helmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
and you could tell.
Used
in the
to
old
love
days,
those
that would be,
you,
I remember being a kid and looking, ooh, look at that guy. Look at all the stickers. I remember seeing Chris Spielman.
Yeah.
Chris Spielman's helmet was covered. And you know the guy's a badass. You're like, that guy's a badass because look at all the stickers on his helmet.
Yeah, well, when we come back, we'll be picking it up with Wisconsin and Michigan. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Are cha-cha-ring right into week number 7. Love the music in this segment. Another classic SEC battle between Florida and Vanderbilt. Florida on the road in Nashville. They've dominated the Commodores, won 4 of the last 5. What did he say? No music.
I want to hear the heavy metal music version of this song from Gabe Morenci. What do you think? A little bit of heavy metal-infused cha-cha?
The new Homicide material should be ready in probably like mid to late November.
Wow.
So
we could use that as some bumps for the
exactly.
show.
Wake people up with some, get them going in the morning.
If I'm on we're not sure if I'm in the video yet. I got to be nice to Gabe, so we'll see how that game plays out. We'll see how that game plays out. But Florida on the road against Vanderbilt. Florida's won 4 of the last 5 over the Commodores. Last year, they won this matchup by 14 points, but it was very close. Gabe and Rich were on Vanderbilt. They broke a long run, the Gators did, to cover that battle. I'm not sold on Florida here, guys. Again, defensively, they're giving up 172 rushing yards per game. Kyle Shermer in that offense can move the football. got blasting game. I know they didn't play well against Georgia, but I'm taking the 7 points with the Commodores here.
Joe, I just think it's too low. I mean, I understand the possibility of the letdown after the big LSU win. They've got a lot coming up, a break, and then the cocktail party against Georgia. I get that. This could be a potential trap game, but I'm falling in love with that Florida defense. They're getting more out of the offense. Defensively, you got Jagai Polite, Jabari Zuniga on the outside. Voshawn Joseph, the linebacker, was terrific with 14 tackles last week against LSU. And they're beginning to run the ball. You mentioned it in the first hour, 215 yards against that vaunted LSU defense. So I like Florida, a little scared off to be giving points on the road, but it's one of my better bets of the day. I'll take the Gators. I just think the line is too low. I thought this would have been closer to two touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know about the total. I could see a low-scoring game. I could see both quarterbacks lighting it up and this being in the 30s in this ballgame, Gabe. But for me, it does come down to Vanderbilt 3-3, they have an opportunity to make a statement win. Derek Mason on the hot seat. And if they can get to 4 wins within the conference, I mean, again, they might not win this game, but I see them losing 3-4 points in this battle.
You know, Vanderbilt seemed to have been a little bit overmatched, though, when they're playing these big-time Power 5 schools this year. They just don't have enough firepower to get over the top. It's a tough spot. And, guys, you want to talk about live movement. We're seeing 9.5 right now.
Wow.
In this game, up to 9.5. So
it gets to 10. So basically, that's a critical number for
you. That's a key number at 10. But basically, if you're betting Florida, you need to win this game by 10 points. I wouldn't be doing it coming off that emotional. Man, that was like a 12, 15 round old school boxing match last week with LSU. Big game coming ahead. I think Mullen's just happy to get in and out of here with a win. I think they win by 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, it's going to be close. We'll see how that game plays out.
If I had to bet it, I would take Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Vandy's best defensive player, Charles Wright, not expected to play. So in the attempt to stop the run and that flood of backs that you have at Florida gets a little bit tougher without Wright in the middle.
I mean, look, they've played 13-6, 9-7. There's
28-14.
Slightly different teams, though. I think Florida's heading in a different direction.
Yeah, guys,
right now.
I'll be honest. I lost big money on this game last year with Vanderbilt.
That was a tough game.
They lost by 14. They were in it. The game was much closer. That's one thing I'll tell you.
Well, it was, who was the back? Malik Davis, I think.
38-24. The game was
from the 50-yard line. Yeah.
It was much closer than the final score indicated.
Yeah, it was. It was an 8.5-point spread, I think, last year. Florida was
9.5. You're right.
Yeah, right in the area.
They were running out the clock. Yep,
exactly. Here's another battle. Again, I mean, if you think of Heisman Trophy, if Tua does sort of fail within one or two games, a guy that you really have to start considering for the hardware is Dwayne Haskins. I mean, 25 touchdown passes. They put a beatdown on Indiana, did not cover that ball game last week in the Horseshoe, won by 23 points. Now here comes Minnesota, PJ Fleck, an anemic offense in the Golden Gophers. They're catching 30 points. I like Minnesota here.
Do you really?
Not to win. Let's be honest. Not to win.
I want to take them so badly.
I like Minnesota with the points. I just don't think. I think Ohio State wins by 28, but they still don't cover the 30.
Yeah, I mean, we know how these big spreads go. We've seen it with Alabama. Certainly a possibility that they could take their foot off the gas, bring in Tate Martell, Sid Haskins, and they win by 28. Yeah. The one thing I'll bring up with Minnesota is they look like they've begun to fade. The defense that in the first few weeks was solid, the running game with Rodney Smith. Smith is now out. The young quarterback, Anikstead, is starting to play a little more like a freshman. They showed a spark offensively last week, but then the defense gave up 48 to Iowa. So I think if you give up 48 to Iowa and that methodical offense could be into the 50s for Ohio State. I think unless weather becomes a factor, I think Ohio State rolls offensively. Does Minnesota get a backdoor cover? It's possible. I just wouldn't bet on it right now.
Here's the thing for the total, like Rich brought up. They can't get into a shootout with an offense that's averaging 201 rushing yards per game and over 300 with Haskins in this ballgame. Defensively, Minnesota's solid. They're giving up 196 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks and holding opposing offenses to 127 rushing yards on the ground. I still like Minnesota, but I lean more towards the under in this ballgame, Gabe.
What's the number? Do you know?
That I don't know. I think it's in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken.
61.
Yeah.
61. Yeah, I wanted to take Minnesota in this game. Can't do it. I'd rather, if I'm going to take a lot of points, I'd rather do it with a team like Missouri, even though it's against Alabama, because they can score. Because teams can throw the ball down the field. As you stated, you're betting on Minnesota here. You're just sort of hoping that Ohio State gets bored and doesn't cover the number. Yeah. Like, would it surprise you if this game was 42-3?
No, 50-3, it wouldn't surprise
you.
Yeah,
50-6, 45-7.
That's why I would stay away. I would stay away unless you're looking at maybe points or possibly Ohio State, because I think you are putting a wing and a prayer.
Total, we're talking at 61, I would go under the number because I don't think Minnesota's going to score that much.
Well, that's the thing, too. But here's the thing about Urban Meyer. You watch that Tulane game. He wants to cover each and every week.
Yeah, he owes his,
you
look at boosters,
Saban.
Yeah.
You look at Saban on the flip side, right? He's got Nick. What are you doing?
And there's
you
no
need
look
to cover Nick.
There's no look ahead either for Ohio State. I look at their schedule. It's Cupcake City. They're at Purdue next week, or they're playing Purdue. Whatever. Like, there's no real big game on horizon actually for Ohio State for a couple of weeks. Even
Big Ten from top to bottom started. I thought that this was the year that we would see some of the bottom teams, or even though Illinois could be a lot
better. Yeah, they play better.
They're playing better.
AJ Bush.
But teams like Minnesota, Purdue,
Illinois could be a live dog, actually.
To challenge Ohio
against Purdue
State, you need to be better. To have that upset win, we have it in the SEC. Teams like Vanderbilt, they're blue collar, they're methodical. If their defense is on, they possibly could be in games. You just don't get that with Purdue. You don't get that with teams like Minnesota.
You know what you're seeing is the stratification of major conferences outside of maybe the Pac-12 and the Big 12. ACC, Big 10, SEC, there's Alabama, Georgia, and everybody else. There's Ohio State, maybe Penn State and Michigan, and everybody else. The drop-off continues to get more and more steep because every single December now and February, these guys are just loading up on blue-chip talent.
Yeah, but here's the thing, much to your point about the top teams and everybody else, you still have teams like, you look at Alabama last year, they went into Starkville, not a great team in Mississippi State, 9-4, won that ball game 31-24, they were at least challenged. Ohio State, outside of Michigan, like you mentioned, Penn State and maybe Michigan State, they don't get challenged by anybody else within the conference.
They play a cupcake schedule for the most part. They play TCU this year. They're big out-of-conference game.
Finesse team.
Yeah, and you look, Michigan goes to Notre Dame.
They don't play Iowa this year.
No, I don't know. The schedule in the Big Ten's whacked. Trust me, as a Michigan fan, I often wonder, how is it that we play everybody every year? It's like Wisconsin every 2 years doesn't play anybody. It's strange. Speaking of which, like the SEC, like Auburn and Tennessee, they don't play very often either. Yeah. You know, Georgia and LSU, I don't understand how the hell do you guys not play in 5 years?
You got 14-team conferences. It's hard to match these guys up.
But there's common themes here. A game that people asked us about earlier, and we'll just quickly to get to this one. I brought up Matt Campbell earlier.
Right.
West Virginia hasn't lost a game. A lot of people, they were sort of a trendy team, West Virginia. I don't know how good they are. I tend to think, you know, that the cup is more half empty than full when it comes to West Virginia. Normally, this is the time of the year. I remember Geno Smith got drafted very high because Virginia was 5-0, 6-0.
That was Texas Tech.
You're right. It's a very similar situation. I don't know, man. It seems like once a year, Iowa State gets that big win upset. I think this could be the day today.
I heard Mark Lawrence talk about it. This is a big trend for teams in week number six. Here's the problem, and you know I've been on Iowa State over the last couple of years.
And won consistently with Iowa State.
Quarterback too, right?
Yeah, Purdy. I mean, stepped up with a 418-yard performance, 4 touchdowns in that battle. Here's the one thing about Iowa State. They're not running the football consistently. David Montgomery banged up. They're only averaging 99 rushing yards per game. But West Virginia's defense a lot better than people think. They're holding opposing offenses to 122 rushing yards per game. They jumped up early last year in Morgantown 20-3 and held on for the 20-16 win. I just think they have the better quarterback, better wide receivers. And let's be honest, we bring up Justin Herbert in terms of number one draft pick.
Yeah.
I'll challenge that. I agree with you.
No,
I think Will Greer's got to be mentioned.
I'm not saying Herbert's a slam dunk, number one. No. He's going to be in contention, but Will Greer has to be in contention as well. To the defensive point, which I agree, West Virginia, which never is great defensively, they have benefited from transfers. They got Kenny Bigelow from USC. They got Jabril Robinson from Clemson. So now they're getting a higher caliber of player. Bigelow's an interesting story. He actually was a high school teammate of David Sills, the West Virginia wide receiver. And Bigelow had so many knee problems at USC, was ready to retire, and Sills said, give it one more shot. And now he's been dominating this season. So West Virginia's got a little more might at the line of scrimmage. But I tell you, you know what? Jack Trice Stadium, tough place to win.
Hornet's Nest.
It is a Hornet's Nest.
Not one of my best bets because I would never make this one of my best bets.
But Gabe mentioned it. You know, and you've had success with Iowa State over the years. Matt Campbell as a dog coach is outstanding. Yeah. One of the better dog coaches in the country. Now they're getting
very Tom Herman-ish talks about.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
underrated. I mean, I could see him if an SEC job comes up. I mean, I would
Campbell is an ace young head coach.
And
he's a rising star.
What we were just talking about in terms of quality top to bottom. The one conference where there's becoming more and more, I want to say, parity is in the Big 12. You have teams like Iowa State, Baylor,
Texas Tech just beat TCU.
So
you're
starting to close the gap from the top three down to the bottom,
which makes it more competitive and entertaining.
Which is a great season. Yeah. Now every week, you never know who's going to strike the upset.
Nobody really, though. When we were talking about Notre Dame earlier. You talk about Georgia. You talk about these playoff contenders. People don't talk about West Virginia in that same way. This would be a big win for them. A big step.
Yeah.
You guys said great teams win on the road.
Yeah.
And this would be, I know it's Iowa State. We're not talking about. Tough place to play. You got the young quarterback Purdy who played well against Oklahoma State. Defensively, they have enough talent. Brian Peavy, one of the better corners in the Big 12. So interesting game for West Virginia. If they really want to be a Big 12 and possibly long shot playoff contender, go win in Ames.
Yeah, I don't know about the total here because it could be a low scoring game like it was last year, 20-16, but it also could be a shootout at the OK Corral with Purdy and Will Grier turning it on in Ames. I still like West Virginia. I think they win a 13-point victory, 13-17. I think it could be a 10-point game much of the way, but in the end, the speed of West Virginia as well, I think, to me, is the difference in this ballgame. We'll get to that 12-20 kick. It's Rich's best bet. Duke at home against Georgia Tech. Critical battle. Duke has owned the triple option, 7-1 over the last eight games. They lost last year 21-16 to Army. I just like the way the triple option is playing with Taquan Marshall, a dominating road win over Louisville. Not one of my best selections, but I like the Yellow Jackets later.
Yeah, I love Duke today. I instantly looked at this game and saw a couple of trends that jumped out for me. Number one, David Cutcliffe has covered four straight times against Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech, so he's had the Yellow Jackets number I mentioned earlier in the show against the triple option. So Army earlier this year, Georgia Tech, 7-1 against the spread over the last 5 years. That's David Cutcliffe. They have outstanding linebackers, Joe Giles Harris, a kid from upstate New York, and Ben Humphreys. And offensively, Georgia Tech has no defense whatsoever, no pass rush. Offensively, Daniel Jones had broken his collarbone earlier in the season, came back a little bit too early against Virginia Tech, did not play well. He is an NFL caliber quarterback. I think he shows it today. I think Duke, Joey, double digits. I think Duke Blue Devils win by double digits today on the road, on the flats in Atlanta. That's my best bet of the day.
Joey, double digits. It's all about the double digits. Yeah. I do the morning show now with Michelle Serpico, who we call the Double D Destroyer.
There you go. Double D and double digits.
You're not referring to double digits, though, are you?
No, we could be.
She's 1-0. She beat up Corey Parson.
Corey tapped in like 32 seconds. A couple of quick games here at noon for the guys out there going to be betting on everything. We try to get every game. Wouldn't be a college football today if we didn't bring our boys up from Rutgers. So Rutgers, it's not looking good for these guys.
I know, but I can't lay 24.
I know. I'm tempted.
Can you lay 24?
I wanted to take
Maryland?
Rutgers, but I'm like, I can't do it.
I know.
It's a Big Ten game.
Maryland probably tattooed them.
Now, this got brought up to me last night about Shiano coming back for Rutgers. I don't think he comes back. I mean.
Oh, I think he would, though, don't you think? He wants a head coach job in the. I think they'd be silly not to. He has the secret sauce.
Not that much controversy around him. He's just sort of this guy. I think they take him in a heartbeat. Are you
really
so?
Yeah.
I think they roll out the red carpet. Akron and Buffalo Bulls.
I can't go against
-11.
Against my guy, Terry.
Your boys, you're biased. Let me ask Rich Sherman Al only.
Yeah, I would take Buffalo. Buffalo's rolling at this point.
Iowa,
Akron struggling offensively.
Indiana.
Yeah, I like Iowa still.
Indiana's getting 3.5 now on their home field.
Blue collar.
I would take Iowa as well.
Yeah.
Iowa had a nice win over Minnesota. I like the way they gave up a lot of points. I like the way that defense is playing, though. Anthony Nelson up front, AJ Epinesa, solid defensive line.
A game that I like and we're going to give as one of our best bets here, although I'm not a fan of seeing that 67% of the betting public are on them. I'm talking about Toledo.
That's an intriguing
Toledo
game.
At Eastern Michigan. I don't know if it's a trap, but it's come down. It was 2.5 down to 1.5.
That line is lower than I thought.
It is, and you know, Eastern Michigan don't have a home field advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be, what, 8,000 people there?
You go into Ypsilanti, you'll be lucky to get out of there.
I've been up there before, and yeah, it's my cousin played on the hockey team. So I know the campus. I know the situation. You look at Toledo. They lost to some good football. You know, they lost to Miami, and they were in a horrible situation playing Fresno. Late at night at about 2 in the morning on their body clocks up there at Fresno. I think Toledo beat Eastern Michigan today, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I speed team versus a more methodical offense. Eastern Michigan played very well. They played well against San Diego State.
They've played well all year. They really have.
I like the way they're putting Glass, too, the quarterback, the mobile quarterback. Use them and read options. We'll see how that game plays out. I still lean Toledo in that ball game. Let's talk about this one. It's a 2 o'clock kick. Southern Miss, North Texas. I like Southern Miss with the 8 points here. I think they're a live road dog in that battle. I wonder if that's one of the games.
Depends on the health of Mason Fine. Mason Fine hasn't been 100%. You really need him to be. You need him to be the top of his game. He's a small kid, so if you bang him around, he could wind up on the sidelines. I really like what Seth Luttrell has done. Southern Miss competed with Auburn a couple of weeks ago, that's something
trend
to consider.
Here, guys, and I've been burnt by this. North Texas and their explosive offense, they're a 6-0. Six unders, zero overs this year.
That's because they're
inflated numbers all the time.
Yeah, 69 against Arkansas? And they put up 61 in that ballgame.
I got screwed against SMU. It was 74. They got to like 68 or something.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. 6-0 unders in North Texas.
Well, yeah, 6-0 to the under.
When we come back, we'll be giving our 12 o'clock best selections. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34 right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on College Football Today, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci talking about all the top 25 action. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of... The DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available. That means that you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each and every week for NBA DFS contests that start next week. We told you about the premium subscribers winning hundreds of dollars each night using the DailyRoto.com Lineup Optimizers. We told you about the subscribers winning thousands and tens of thousands. The ones taking down tournaments like Colin Drew, winning hundreds of thousands, and how DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings $1 million tournament winners. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you aren't using the DailyRoto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong. You are at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com and click Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. I'm going to start winning today
You won a lot last week. You want to keep winning? You're going to be piggish if you keep
Michigan
winning.
That Michigan State game started my day very
But then I think you were
terrible.
Unbeaten after that.
Yeah, after that, that Utah game at night against Stanford was the cherry on top. Gutty win by the Utah Utes. I mean, and they're starting
that
to peak after
South,
last.
Joe, that Pac-12 South is wide open.
Wide open.
That's why Colorado-USC is going to really tell us a lot about
we're going to get into that. I know. You know, and when I looked at that game with USC, I said, Do I make this a bet? And I said, well, I need USC to win, so I'm just going to root it in for that battle. We'll see. I mean, they're coming out of a bye week. JT Daniels now needs to start playing like he's the Gatorade player of the year.
And I like true freshman quarterbacks coming out of a bye. I think those 2 weeks are as valuable for a true freshman quarterback as it is for anyone else on the field.
We saw Tua do it last year in the national championship game. Speaking of Tua, 18 touchdown passes, no interceptions, guys, completing 75% of his
25 incompletions.
That's incredible.
Think about that. He has 18 touchdown 56 passes.
56 points per game.
So 18 touchdown passes, 25 incompletions on the season.
Unbelievable. And they're laying a huge number tonight in Tuscaloosa. Let's keep in mind.
I'm leaning with Mizzou plus the points because I think they can backdoor this.
I'm with you.
Saban chewed out the defense this week.
He also chewed out the fans, the kids, who for not doesn't? Showing
he
up.
Chewed out Maria Taylor, who hasn't, right? So he's been on the war path. I don't know. Maybe this is the week actually that the defense does show up a little bit, but I'm still betting the over. And Missouri's, I mean, they're gonna score 55. Look, they're getting in the 65 ranges now, right? They might get into 60-plus points tonight. The game's going over. I'm betting the over.
Yeah, I don't know about the over.
Every Alabama game this year has sailed over the number with the exception of one, and that was against Mississippi, and it was 66-3.
It wouldn't shock me if Alabama dominated like they did 2 years ago against Ole Miss last year, 66-3 at home. I mean, I could see that happening. Here's the one stat that I talked about in the break. Since 2016, Alabama's 20-1 against SEC opponents. Their only loss last year on the road against Auburn. They've won those 20 games by 27.9 points per game. Spread tonight, Rich, is 28. I still think Drew Locke has enough in the tank. They're averaging 200 rushing yards per game, passing for 318. Alabama wins, but Missouri's able to keep it within the number.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Alabama's lost the last three against the spread, so it wouldn't be a shocker. To the Drew Locke point, a fine quarterback, but against Power 5 opponents, career, 20 touchdown passes, 26 interceptions. Yeah. 20-26 ratio against Power 5 opponents. So he might throw a couple of TDs, but I think he's going to put a couple in the midsection of Alabama defenders that they take the other way. And, you know, Gabe touched on one of the things that struck me. If I had to bet this game, and I never like having to lay four touchdowns, I would probably take Alabama solely because of what Gabe said, which is Nick is really annoyed at his defense. Those big numbers that they're putting up, I think they're going to be aggressive for four quarters.
They
I think
did
Saban,
lose Trayvon Diggs, though.
Yes, Diggs the defensive
player for them. I know Alabama is next man up, so I'm not going to overreact, but we are talking about one of their better defenders.
And Arkansas put up 233 passing yards with Ty Story. I mean, he's not an all-world quarterback. And I agree with you about Drew Locke. I think he's a system guy. When he started 2 years ago, he only completed 54% of his passes. He's gotten better this year, but again, he's more of he needs time. If you get into his face, you could disrupt him. Now, that's been the MO for Missouri. Only four sacks allowed heading into this ballgame, but they haven't faced a defensive front.
Last week was a really unique situation in that weather. Was our boy Scarnecchia?
Yeah, Scarnecchia.
Actually played pretty well.
First of all, that kid is accurate. Did you use every pass? A little slow getting out there, but it's accurate.
I was watching that game here at Versa on my phone. Now, I picked South Carolina in that ballgame. I'm watching Missouri. 57 yard. I thought it was raining out in that ballgame. It was a monsoon. The kid
it was
nails,
pouring.
He nails a 57 yard field goal and it had room to spare.
Dude, it was one of those weird games where, with the weather, every time Missouri would get the ball, it would start raining. And every time Scarnecchia hit the ball, the sun would come out. It was like bizarro world. But I had South Carolina, I noticed that. I was like, man, every time I look up, Locke's like in the rain. It's like blowing sideways in his face. And then suddenly, like, South Carolina hit the ball and it stopped. It was one of those games the football gods just sort of pushed.
Well, I was going to say, are you suggesting God is a Gamecock fan?
No.
Good.
I don't think God's a football fan, but if he was, I guarantee you he's not a Gamecock fan.
Well, here's the thing about, I mean, Drew Locke.
Muschamp probably thinks he is, but...
Yeah,
well, be a lot of fans in South Carolina. Too.
I don't think he's a number one draft pick in any capacity, although the draft experts are raving.
Well, he's a first-round pick.
Is For he? Sure? I'm not even convinced of that.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, that's a guarantee.
You would bet that, okay.
Oh, guaranteed.
Here's the thing.
He'll be top 10, top 14.
He might.
Listen, once you get to the combine and that whole process, things can change.
He's a little short, though. He's not. 6'1"? 6'1".
Yeah.
So he really needs to be like a Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield. And I think
you're underestimating. Dude, he's the second quarter. Herbert's,
I know he is.
Herbert seemed to have taken over the realm right
now.
Yeah,
I would go Greer. I would take Greer also.
Yeah.
And we talked about Greer. Finley, actually. Finley, and people Finley, that the mainstream don't talk about, the kid at NC State.
Here's the thing. I mean, if you're a quarterback on the next level, you do not want to turn the football over. Drew Lock, look at last week, right in pick six to spurn that matchup on the road. I mean, you cannot make critical errors, especially against Alabama's defense.
But you know, wasn't it a tip ball? Wasn't it rainy and sort of the ball was bouncing around? It was a weird game last week.
I hope he comes through tonight. I'm betting the over.
I'm not going to get in front of Alabama.
I'm going to take the Drew Lock over first half of the first round. I think he goes beyond the first half of the first round. I'm going to take that
we'll
over.
We'll have time to break it down.
We'll never remember that we even said this.
This might come as a surprise to you, but sportsbooks actually accept bets on the NFL draft.
Well, here's the thing, too, when you talk about pass rush. Now, 4 sacks allowed for Missouri. Georgia entering this ball game against LSU only has 6 total sacks. So you could look at that matchup against Georgia and say, well, they faced a defensive front. Georgia's not generating pass rush either.
With the exception of DeAndre Walker, who's putting pressure on opposing backfields right now?
If Burrow has time, we'll see. I mean, that's the matchup to see play out later. But again, to the point facing Alabama, we know Alabama generates pass rush each and every week. They'll be bringing the blitz from the outside.
Where I get nervous is I think you're gambling on the backfield cover. And it's happened. So it certainly can happen. But I wouldn't want to put my money gambling on the fact that Missouri gets a late touchdown, especially with Nick now getting a little bit annoyed that his defense is giving up so many points.
I agree with you. We'll turn our attention to that Big 12 battle. Texas with a marquee win over Oklahoma, jumped up by 21 points, held on for the 3-point win, outright cover over Oklahoma and Kyler Murray. Now they face a hot Baylor team that did get the 37-31 win over Kansas State. Did not cover that 4.5-point spread last week in Waco, but I really like the way this Baylor team is playing now. I think this is a bad spot for the Bears defense. They're giving up around 194 rushing yards per game. I look for Watson and Ellinger to get going. I still like Texas to cover this number later.
Yeah, we're in agreement. I like Texas. They've traditionally done well after the Red River rivalry. 18 of the last 20 games they have won, but they haven't covered all of those games. I would be inclined to take Baylor in the points in this game. I like Charlie Brewer. I like what Matt Rhule is doing. Little by little, he's getting closer to being in contention for a bowl game. But Texas, I'm just blown away with the recovery from that week one loss to Maryland. Defense is playing exceptionally well. Sam Ellinger coming into his own. Very poised, very mature kid. I don't think this is a playoff team. I don't think they have elite talent right now. But if they could just continue to grind along, pick up wins, that's a great sign for Tom Herman in Austin.
Yeah, now I'll say this about Baylor. They were one of my surprise teams. I think they strike an upset along the way. It's not today, but I think they're going to be the Iowa State like they were last year. I could see this team at 6-6. I love Brewer. And you got to lean to the over here, Gabe, in this matchup. Even though Texas has won 3 of the last 5 by 12.6 points per game, I think this is going to be a very high-scoring affair in Austin later today.
I agree. I cashed the number last week, and there was some hesitation with the over in the Oklahoma game in the Red River shootout. People, I don't know, there's going to be defense. I tell you what, though, Herman's done a great job, and you talked about it, Rich. After the opening loss to Maryland, you figure, oh, boy, here we go. He always talked about not having a signature win. He's getting his signature wins. He gets the TCU win. He gets the Oklahoma win. We all know about Tom Herman and how good he is. He's legendary ATS as an underdog. But do we want to be laying 14 points? No. I think Baylor's a live dog in this game, actually. Yeah. I think it's tough for Texas to match the intensity that they've been playing with. Playing against TCU, playing against
USC.
Oklahoma. I think they might just think it's Baylor. They're not the same team as they were. Give me Baylor plus the points.
Yeah, it's a good play. We'll see that. That's a 3:30 kick. We're about 8 minutes away from our 12 o'clock games. My best bet for 12 o'clock is the Tennessee Volunteers. It's at 14.5, 15.
Wow.
I like the Volunteers in that matchup. I think they keep that game very close.
Joe, I like Tennessee as well. Not one of my best bets. I actually have 3 at 12 o'clock. So today's either going to start off miserably or well. Depending depending on how these teams perform. I'm going to take Florida. I'm going to gamble on the fact that there isn't a letdown. I think they're far superior to Vanderbilt. I thought this line would have been around 13. I think it's close to half that right now. So I think the Florida defense, the ability to run the ball, not just with one back, but with multiple backs. I like Florida. I love Duke. This is my best bet of the day. I think they go in and ransack Georgia Tech. I think you're going to see the offense that we saw back in September. And defensively, they have the secret sauce, David Cutcliffe and those linebackers, to stop the triple option. They'll slow down Taquan Marshall and Georgia Tech. And finally, my final one at 12 o'clock is Boston College. I know weather's going to be an issue. Louisville has packed it in. I mean, I think this season is over. This is a bad matchup for Louisville, more of a finesse team. They don't have the physicality to keep up with that offensive line. I don't care if A.J. Dillon plays. They have a young kid by the name of Ben Glines. Ran well last week, kid from Cincinnati, 6'2", 220 pounds. He's not A.J. Dillon, but he looks an awful lot like him, so I like Boston College to cover.
You know, I've got a piece of this game as well, and I like the over at 61.5. It's down to 57 right now because of the rain, but I'm not going to be scared off. I'm going to go over the number, Louisville and Boston College. I'm going to take the Toledo Rockets, and there's been some line movement in this game. It's actually down to 1.5 right now, so you might as well just money line Toledo. Troy and Liberty's not a noon game, but it's an early game, so we'll throw this at you. Liberty can't stop anybody. Troy's got an explosive offense. I don't care who the quarterback is. There's going to be points in this football game. I think Liberty are actually a live home dog here, getting the double-digit points. And then we got Pittsburgh and Notre Dame, which is sort of in between. I think that game starts at 2:30 or so. I'm going over the number, Pitt-Notre Dame, over 54. And we got the late games on the board up here with the Oregon Ducks plus 3.5, Missouri-Alabama over 75. Iowa State Cyclones getting points on their home field. Hawaii, let's just hope the real Cole McDonald is the one playing tonight. And you know what? I like Colorado, actually. I like Colorado Buffaloes. I know they've lost 12 straight to the Trojans, but I like the Colorado Buffaloes in this spot, plus 7.
You're against Uncle Rich in that matchup.
We're going to be like two Buffaloes button heads because I love USC.
0-12 Buffaloes against USC by 20.8 points per game. We'll get into that game.
Kentucky were also 0-31 against Florida.
I agree with you. I need USC to win. I picked them to win the Pac-12.
With Colorado, they've been very comfortable up there in Boulder for the last 3 weeks. They haven't been on the road in about a month.
Steven Montez playing very well, and he's another quarterback as well. We talk about Greer. We're
going to get in the mix.
He's going to get in the mix.
McIntyre fan. I think the guy's a solid coach.
Yep. Yeah, quickly, Big 12 battle between Greer and Purdy in Ames, Iowa. I love West Virginia here. Not one of my better selections, but I do think they get a double-digit win over the Cyclones.
Yeah, I wanted to put a bow on this game. We talked about it a little bit. I like Iowa State. When you have a chance to take Iowa State in a spotlight game against a ranked, unbeaten opponent, getting points, I have to take Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. I think this will be a close game like last year. What was it, 20-16? You said 4-point game. I think it'll be that kind of game with more points. Now, you got Brock Purdy, the young quarterback. Can he bring it in a first-time start? Maybe, maybe not. But you still have Zeb Nolan coming off the bench.
You do.
So you have the opportunity.
Is there, but he's not
available. Going to play.
But
one quick thing before I turn it over to Gabe for his pick is Iowa State, Campbell, and that staff have done a good job with quarterbacks.
Excellent. Very well.
You know, Kemp was a cast-off from Oregon State. Yeah. He came in, and he upsets Oklahoma last year. Purdy comes in as a rookie, and he upsets Oklahoma State last week. So they're doing a really nice job of coaching up quarterbacks, and Ames at night will be an absolute, no question about it.
And Nolan got the victory on the road in Baylor last year to spell Kempf.
They get their quarterbacks ready at Iowa State.
He coaches that talent up, so I couldn't agree more. I just think it's a bad spot, but again, we'll see how that game plays out. You're taking the over, or you're taking West Virginia?
I'm taking Iowa State.
Oh, you are?
And I'm taking Iowa State. I've said it like 10 times today. Matt Campbell plus the points.
Matt Campbell, are you taking the over?
No, okay. I'm taking Iowa State.
That's number 11, by the way, if you're keeping count.
I'm taking Iowa State. Yeah,
that's number 12.
You're worse than the people in the chat. What are your best bets? I don't know. I've given it 10
ADD.
Times.
I zoned out.
I'm aware.
What I do have, though,
another money line parlay. I already played this. I played on Thursday night. I got Auburn to win the game on the money line. I got Penn State to win a game on the money line and Michigan to win a game on the money line. It's minus 137.
I'm going to throw out Minnesota. I like them at 12 o'clock. I'm going to take
the
30.5 now. I mean, to me, it's ballsy.
It is ballsy.
I just think,
Ohio State's going to get up at least 49.
He's going to step on their throat if they jump up early.
Yeah.
Again, I just think, if they lose this ball game, 61-30. I don't know if they'll score Mid, 30.
Yeah, I don't know if Minnesota's going to. Yeah, that's the problem.
No, they probably won't cover.
To me, this looks like a 50.
They're going to have to run the football.
51-17 kind of game.
Haskins on the sidelines and just hope that you can get into a low-scoring
leap of
game.
Faith pick.
Yeah.
I would take it. I would take, and I like Pitt. I'll say this. I have thoughts of Shady McCoy back in that game years ago.
Ooh, I don't like that one.
I like Pittsburgh plus the 21.5. Again, I know
I think ND goes for the jugular at this point.
They might, but I still, this is, again, I was shocked that Pittsburgh got that win against Syracuse last week.
Yeah.
But again, this is another game where on the road.
Do you think they're turning the corner a little? Under Narduzzi.
Barely, I just think that they're
just peaking around the corner.
Yeah, we'll see. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Michigan and Wisconsin. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34 right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network.